You're listening to KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM live and local. It's time now for Saturday Morning Sports Talk with Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
From the historic Roger Hartsook interview room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, studio engineer Dan Courtright. Fellas, how are you guys doing this morning?
It's another beautiful Saturday. It's going to get hot.
Are you sure?
It's.
Are you sure it's going to be a beautiful Saturday? It's going to be 1,000 degrees outside.
Yeah, and we're going to be helping grill the burgers at Beef Fest. And
sure.
It's going to, I guess, it's gonna be a scorcher.
That part will be beautiful. We got to work on this guy over here. His definition of beautiful.
Yeah, two different versions of beautiful.
I would say so.
The comic relief has started.
Yeah, I'm not a summer guy.
Really?
I don't like the heat at all. Give me fall, give me spring.
Hey, fall is, I'm all in on fall.
I'm not into triple digits.
Yeah.
So triple digits of anything sometimes can be a bad thing.
Sure. Unless it's a sale.
Particularly on the temperature side. But, no, good Saturday. You know, we're a couple weeks away from you two being able to talk about a football game. So
yeah.
We're zeroing in on that time of year, which is obviously great, which means fall's right around the corner.
Absolutely.
Things are starting to pick up, and business will pick up.
Yeah, as JR used to say, business is picking up.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
That's for sure. So coming up in terms of our business here, in terms of sports today, this weekend, Royals at Cubs, 12:30 for the pregame 121st pitch. That'll be right here on KVOE. And we'll have Chiefs preseason coverage today on Country 101.7 at Arizona, 6 o'clock for the pregame coverage from the Chiefs Radio Network, 7 o'clock for the kickoff. Royals again at 120 on Sunday. You guys mentioned preseason football. There's a lot of preseason football activities. I was at a booster night last night for Emporia State. And, Dylan, I know that Emporia High School, they've got some scrimmages today. They're going to try to squeeze in just under the wire before it gets unbearably hot out there.
I actually shot Caden Glintzman a text this morning. I went out and talked to him on Thursday because I wanted to make sure everything was lined up accordingly so that I could get the word out yesterday and get it out today. They are going to practice from 9 to 11 out at Emporia High. It's their Gatorade scrimmage, and admission is a 8-pack of 20-ounce bottles of Gatorade.
Okay.
That will that they will give the team for road trips.
Sure.
And so usually they do some good things and get a first look at them and see what Caden Glintzman has to offer. They're going to have a bigger one next week, and we'll have Coach Glintzman on with us next Saturday morning to kind of talk about that right before it gets started.
Absolutely. Previewing the season and coming up on the show today here in about 8 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford, kind of to preview the entire Emporia State season with so many fall sports getting started even before football, in terms of soccer getting, I think, a few matches before football, volleyball and football getting started, I think, the same weekend. We'll get all that information from him. There's a lot of stuff going on in Emporia State. And then we'll be joined by the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, will join us to preview the KU football season coming up here in a little bit. And, you know, if you're a KU football fan, and I was talking to David Spafford at the booster night last night, you know, big Kansas State guy.
Sure.
So he'll have to get brave here in the nest full of Jayhawks here here in the interview room. But about that, and you know, he said, you know, he's yeah, he told me basically that I was knocked down a few pegs in his mind. But if you are a KU football fan, one thing to ask, you know, Brian about, Jalen Daniels has not been practicing. I mean, this is the quarterback that everybody's predicating their prognostications on, the preseason Big 12 player of the year. And, like, listen, I'm as optimistic of a KU football guy as there is. The starting quarterback is not practicing. He has a bad back. I don't know if you've had a bad back before. If you have a bad back, it can be to the point where it's so bad you can't do anything. You just lay in bed and wait for the end to come.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I don't know how bad his back is, and I know that they've got the best trainers and all that stuff, but I don't feel like people are treating this as a big deal, and maybe Brian's going to come on and tell me, oh, Blake, it's no big deal and all that. Back injuries can be really big deals, yeah. And this is the starting quarterback that the whole offense is predicated around. Now, if you're going to come and tell me, hey, look, Jason Bean's going to be fine. And I remember when we had these Jason Bean conversations before last year. You have Jalen Daniels, who's 5-0. Don't talk to me about how Jason Bean is practicing. I don't want to hear that.
No.
But after seeing what he was able to do, even though he lost all, if not most, of those games, you know, the offense was not really the problem. It was the defense, which will be another question. But, you know, Tim, I feel like, God, shouldn't this be a slightly bigger story that Daniels is not able to go with a bad back? That's, for a mobile quarterback, that's a pretty big deal.
Well, and then you also worry with back injuries. You know, they have a tendency to linger or possibly linger. So even if he is deemed as healthy, you take one shot, and who knows, you may be back to square one again. So, yeah, it's certainly a story to follow. Should get a little more play. Getting back to Jason Bean, though, that's where they do have the benefit of a guy coming back, because this – you know, initially, this guy was not going to return to the Kansas football team. So thank goodness he did, because at least you have some insurance that you have a guy who's capable of coming in and playing. But certainly a story to follow. The good news is they at least have a couple weeks before they have to play that first game, and maybe Brian can play doctor and tell us, you know, what the heck's going on there, and let us know what the true indication is with Jalen Daniels. But yeah, if you're going to have a really good season, or at least the season that you anticipate you're going to have, or potentially could have, you better have Jalen Daniels taking the snaps.
I would certainly think so, and I think that Bean is capable. He showed me a lot. He showed me a lot, especially, you know, the way he came in that TCU game and was competitive. And there were other games where things started bad. I'm pretty sure that he had the Baylor game, if I'm not mistaken, where they just looked awful. Absolutely awful in the first half. You thought, well, everything is headed back in the direction that I've become so accustomed to these last 10 years. And here he comes with this huge comeback, and they just fall a little bit short. You know, I think the other thing, Dylan, is defensively, you know, they have got to get off to better starts defensively in these games instead of getting behind 14-0. And yes, Daniels was able to pull them out of some of those holes early in games last year, you know, because the first few weeks I thought, well, here comes another one-win season because the defense is going to give up about 70,000 points today, and, you know, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So I think that the defense, in absence of the quarterback's health, the defense has to play better for KU to get back to a bowl game. I don't think that they'll be able to get back playing the level of defense that they did last year.
And you got guys back in the secondary that were really good. Kenny Logan's back, Colby Bryant, Melo Dotson. There's some guys back, but I think the key has got to be what they have to replace up front on the defensive line, because I think there were a couple of guys that were that just graduated, but I mean, honestly, Lance Leipold knows how to figure things out.
Yeah.
So, and I think the defense will be just fine. It's good to see that there are players back in the secondary that know, like, Kenny Logan's gone through the dog days of this program, and he came back for one more year because he got a taste of what this program should be like. And now they want to take that next step.
Sure. And it could be a really special first step, the next step as well for this program. And, you know, obviously with the Gateway and all the stuff that's happening around the stadium there, that's all a big deal. And I can just hear, you know, Dylan said he already got some complaints. Oh, these guys, all they do is talk about KU. You know, fret not. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, will be joining us next week on the show. So, mm-hmm. you know, just relax. We will have him on to talk about Kansas State next week. But a lot of big things in terms of other things in the news this week. You know, as David Spafford is arriving on time here, the Wildcat stepping into the nest of Jayhawks. So we'll take a break here real quick. But other than that, guys, the Pac-12 just cannot get anything figured out. And, you know, are they going to die? Are they not going to die? You know, it seemed like they were on death's doorstep, and now maybe they still are because apparently, you know, California and Stanford go from no chance of getting into the Pac to the ACC, and now all of a sudden it seems like there's momentum for them to get into the ACC. So, you know, what do you think about the ACC getting those two schools in?
I would be somewhat surprised if the ACC added them. I mean, I'm totally wrong. It's more a gut feel than anything else. I've got nothing to base it off of.
Sure.
Plus, the ACC has their own set of issues.
There are
some teams who want to bail out of there. So I think they need to take care of their own house first before they worry about adding some teams. But, I've read, too, where the four schools who are remaining, I mean, they're looking – are potentially talking about adding teams like Rice, SMU, Tulane.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that will all set up and what that will look like. But, the realignment thing is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about some stories maybe we didn't get to last week just because we had a lot of business to take care of. The gambling scandal in Iowa is a pretty interesting story that we haven't talked about.
Sure.
Because you've got some guys who have some local ties who are involved in that.
Yeah.
A kid from Iowa who's now at Oklahoma State, Arlen Bruce IV. He's an Olathe North kid. He's involved in this. Deshaun Haneke, who's a former Hayden Wildcat.
Yeah.
Is involved in this. He's at Iowa State.
Deckers,
who was supposed to be their starting quarterback. Jarrell Brock was supposed to be their starting running back at Iowa State. So you got a local school here who's in some real trouble.
Yeah.
And I'll be very curious to see how that all unwinds and what kind of charges are levied. And, you're talking about, too, I mean, these kids may lose complete eligibility. I thought that was an interesting story that has been rearing its ugly head the last few weeks, and it continues this week as one kid at Iowa State was removed or left the team, and he's involved.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you know.
These kids.
It's a much different. Well, it's not just them, too. I mean, there are NFL guys that have gotten in trouble for betting on. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you can somewhat understand, even though they're Division I athletes, I know that they go over this in compliance, but you're an NFL guy. I guarantee you they tell you don't bet at the team building. Don't bet at the team facility. And just as a reminder, don't get on your app at the team facility. And those guys do it anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and don't bet on your own team. Yeah. That's also a really big no-no.
Yeah, don't do that. So anyway, it's a different era as gambling becomes a lot more accepted and available. It's not going to get smaller. It's only going to expand. So that it naturally colleges, universities, and pro teams.
Well, and evidently, it's pretty easy to get an account on these things.
Oh, very easy.
These guys are jumping. Easy. You know, tampering. Well, that's one of the big charges, the tampering with the records. I mean, they're going in underage and getting accounts set up, and
sure.
So the folks who are running these things need to also figure out things on their end in terms of how you tighten that up.
Well, let's take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. When we come back, we'll be joined by Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford, previewing the Hornet season, Hornet football, Hornet volleyball, Hornet soccer on the way, and also two of those teams in the top 25. That's coming up next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
Summer is winding down, but the savings are heating up at Longline Auto Plaza with great offers on new Chevy and pre-owned models now. Get summer drive savings on new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab models with Turbo Max engines and get up to $7,000 off MSRP. And we have Silverado LTZ and RST models in stock, too. Our qualified buyers can get financing as low as 3.9% APR up to 60 months. And remember, at Longbine Auto Plaza, our certified technicians will keep your vehicle in top running shape for those last-minute summer road trips. Now is a great time to get end-of-summer offers and incredible savings on new Chevy and Buick models. So come see us today. Or visit our website, longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Brian Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. With the Division I football season starting next Saturday, the Associated Press released their first top 25 rankings. Two-time defending national champion Georgia claimed the number one spot, receiving all but three of the first-place votes. The Bulldogs are followed in the top five by Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, and LSU. This is the second time in program history Georgia has held the preseason number one ranking, the first back in 2008. No team has won three straight national championships in the AP poll era, which dates back to 1936. Georgia had 15 players taken in this year's NFL draft, including quarterback Stetson Bennett. Head coach Kirby Smart's team enters this season on a 17-game winning streak.
Better never rests. What drives us for this season is intrinsic motivation. We're not going to be controlled by outside narratives and what people say and who's going to be the quarterback. The intrinsic motivation comes from within and what we decide to do.
Getting set for women's volleyball season. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Mr. Clean. Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Preseason rankings for the D1 women's volleyball season. The Texas Longhorns are the defending champions, and they garnered 44 of the 64 total first-place votes. They grabbed the top spot despite the departure of National Player of the Year Logan Eggleston. The Longhorns are trailed by Wisconsin, Stanford, Louisville, and Nebraska in the top five. The women's volleyball season begins at the end of this month. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. As you are well aware, things are about to get very, very busy at the Emporia State campus. Already has been busy. They've got the welcome back party coming up next week. Students have been moving in with the newer students moved in first, and the experienced, the returners coming back this weekend. So there's a lot of buzz, pardon the pun, around the Emporia State campus. And joining us here is the athletic director for Emporia State, just finishing his first year, David Spafford. Welcome to the show. It's my first time on my show. I'm sure you were on with Greg several times, but thanks so much for the time.
No, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
Well, can we move that a little bit? Move that mic a little bit closer to you. I think that'll help.
Almost eat it.
Yeah, a little. He's a little bit old. Well, July 1, 1 year aboard at Emporia State University. How's the year gone?
It's been a busy year, to say the least. And but no, it's been a really good year. I mean, you know, the recap, we had, you know, a lot of good things happen last year in regards to our sports and everything. And, you know, with football going to the bowl game and women's soccer doing as well as they did in top 16. And then you roll into men's basketball, and then you get into our All-Americans and track and field and everything. So it was really a really exciting year. Now we've got a lot to build on and to move forward. I think when you look at the football team this year, we're, you know, ranked third in the MIAA. And we're getting ready to, 19th in the AFCA poll that just came out. So we're in that top 20. We got a lot of work to do, and the guys are putting in their time and they're taking care of business. And it's going to be a lot of fun here when we kick off August 31st.
Yeah, with pregame, of course, at 6 o'clock on your home for the Hornets, Mix 104.9. By the way, and one thing that I've really noticed since I've been here has just been the family atmosphere around the athletic department. Not that it wasn't that way at the place that I left, but there's really a welcoming atmosphere, a team atmosphere. You can just kind of feel that everybody is thinking, you know, hey, we're pulling in a really good direction. If we just all help each other, we're going to get to a really good spot. How much have you noticed that and tried to foster that in your first year?
I've noticed it quite a bit. You know, we've got a great staff, and they work their tails off and doing everything that we need to do and putting things into place to help us compete at that high level. And we've had tremendous support from the administration over in Plum Hall. We've partnered a lot with them this year to help mold the staffing plan that we had that we put into place, and it's now coming to fruition. And we've got a few more hires to make yet as we get ready to go. And hopefully we'll get one of those done here in the next couple of days. and then we can move into the next one. But that's really, everybody's just really excited, and they're fired up, they're pumped up, and you know, we're taking care of everybody the way we need to also.
Along those lines of a family atmosphere, and you mentioned already you still have a couple more hires left, but you've added several members to the family.
Yeah, we really have. Yeah. I've gotten to know HR really well this year.
I bet you have.
And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I was thinking through that. I think we had 5 head coaches last year. And it was just one of those things. I think that's, you know, that that tied my record, you know, in the number in 1 year. And some years you just have that, and other years it's not as much. But we always have, in athletics, you always have that turnover. And, you know, it's just part of the business when you get down to it all, and it is a business. It's a $9 million business.
But some real quality hires. I mean, honestly, some great additions to the athletic department.
Exactly. I think when you go back and look at the caliber of individuals we've been able to bring in, it's going to be really exciting. I think Coach Merzak, when he's, you know, we got that scrimmage coming up here on Tuesday the 29th. Up at down at White, and you know, everybody's invited to come out and have a chance to meet the team and everything. And he's got 21 student athletes, and it's phenomenal. And man, I tell you, the athletic ability is just really exciting to watch those girls as they get ready to get going for the season. And we got tremendous competition at every position. Then, you know, and then you roll into our other hires with Coach O. They just got back from Italy. I'm hoping he's still sleeping right now. You know, he was in the office this morning. Oh, wow, go figure.
That's,
you know,
dedication.
And that's how you get things done, though. I had to tell their assistant to take an extra half a day off Monday.
Sure.
So, you know, he's trying to get to a wedding and try to have a little break. I said, no, man, just, you know,
they're ready to go.
You know, get down a little bit. But, you know, he's doing good. We're looking forward to him and see what the, you know, how the team comes together. I think that Italy trip was really a great timing in regards to helping build the team chemistry, pulling things together. Getting, you know, the student athletes can have that chance to be able to learn more from each other in a more of a second nature as you get to know each other more personally. And then you go, roll into baseball with Coach Hill. And I've barely seen him. He's been on the road so much. And I just laugh because everywhere he goes, he's always saying, oh, I stopped in and saw so-and-so. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. You know? And it's just like old home week with him, you know. And it's really been exciting to watch that. And he's got a camp going on right now out at Tressler this morning. Had one last weekend, too. So, we're, you know, he's getting that chance to look at some, you know, some pretty good talent. Seeing where he's at, I think we need to get another pitcher for sure. Of course, I haven't met a baseball coach that said he did need another pitcher. But it's really been exciting to see how a lot of this is coming together right now. And then,
go ahead and talk about John real quick, and then I have something for you.
Yeah, sure. No, John's been, he's just like a sponge right now. He's just, you know, absorbing everything, getting his arms around the budget, getting his arms around travel, looking at the schedule and things like that. And, you know, he brings a really good caliber of experience to come in to help pull that program together and help make them better. CeCe's been really excited to have him there, and those two have been an arm in arm just working through it all and getting our tennis programs ready to compete here in the fall. And so it's, you know, it definitely is a lot of new faces right now.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, I think we're going to have a little get together with the city, with all of our fans and get to, you know, hey, get to know the new staff. And you know, so we're kind of looking at, you know, when we can do that and figure that one out too.
I guess, David, you mentioned about all the new coaches and everything, and then you got all the veterans. But what's one big goal for you to see the athletic department accomplish this school year?
This school year is going to be really important as in regards to our revenue generation. We've gone through the stage of getting the staffing in place and putting people there. We've got some things that I'm working on right now to help and assist with our revenue generation. We generate approximately $1.6 million in revenue ourselves, and I want to be able to grow that by another $300,000-$400,000 this year, and to be able to put us in a little bit better position for some things down the road. We've got some things and companies we're talking to do some outsourcing with our corporate sponsorships and our ticketing. We'll see how that shakes. We've got some different you know, we got some staff that we're looking at and be able to kind of help us in that realm too. So that'll be a big key there. The other big one that we've got to get done here in the next couple months is wrapping up our master plan. We got to know where we're going. and then we got to write down this is how we're going to get there, and then we're going to sequence things into place, and just start getting things taken care of, and get these facilities moving, get those kinds of things rolling down the way, so we can get it all kind of lined out like we need to.
Well, one thing I know that will help in terms of that revenue generation that will be a little bit different is that there will be some donor parking that's going to be available around Welch Stadium this year. You know, talk to us about the genesis of that and how that's going to work, and parking over there for football this fall is going to look a little different than it has in the past.
Yeah, it will a little bit along the way. I think, you know, as we evaluated where we are with our annual giving program, we wanted to be able to kind of do a restart on that. And so as we put things together with our Creating Champions Club as a standard annual giving program, and I think when you look at the Williams Fund at KU, you look at the Ahern Fund at Kansas State, and say so down at Wichita State, it's very much it's the same type of program of what those are. So you have donor benefits for parking and also for season ticket sales and seating, and it gives you that opportunity to be able to generate additional revenue to help take care of our student athletes, and that's what it goes for. It's going to go for those extra things that we need in order to be in that top 25 as an overall athletic department.
Yeah, and it's very something that goes on at almost every program. I mean, this is not something new. It's something that is, you know, you guys are kind of, you know, leading the edge maybe at Division II on getting to that. But, yeah, coming from Wichita State, I can tell you that's a big push for them all the time. Read plenty of announcements while doing PA for volleyball and baseball about say-so, believe me. And then another thing that's coming up here next month that people can get involved with is you've got a golf tournament on September 22nd.
That's right. We'll have our fall classic. I know there's been a lot of fans that have been calling and going, when are we doing the golf tournament again? And so we've been working as we get our staff in place so we have somebody that can actually work on it. Get things taken care of. And so September 22nd, it'll be for on family weekend. We'll be here at the Emporia Golf Course, and we'll have more information coming out here this week.
You know, you mentioned that the plan's not quite all together yet, and you're still working on it over the next couple of months. But in your mind, I mean, are there phases that you're putting this into? I mean, like phase one, phase two, what you'd like to get accomplished? Basically, I guess maybe a pecking order of things you'd like to see get done.
Well, you can always put a pecking order in place. One thing I've learned in the last 30 years is if a donor comes to me with $25 million, we're going to do that project next.
Sure.
And
sure. That makes some sense, yeah.
Yeah, so it does make a little sense. I think in all reality, I think when you look at where we're at, we've got to finish getting ready for the national track meet. And we've got things in place. Our throws areas are all – we'll have those wrapped up this week. And we're putting the concrete in there and that last discus and hammer throw ring over by the interstate. Those will all be done. The jumps area is done. We just got to redo the sand. And say, I don't know about y'all, but sand's pretty expensive.
Is it really?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. Wow. Oh, you know, it's like over 2-3 feet deep. And you got to have
that.
A particular type of granule in there so that it's safer for the athletes. So we'll get that done. We'll wrap that up in January. And then resurfacing the track will happen late February, early March. And as we put that into play, the other thing is we're getting ready to order new lights for Welch right now. Cool. You know, again, thank you to the city for their assistance with some of this. And it'll not only help Emporia State, but also help our high school program and football and other events that we have out there at Welch. And then we're having all new seating on the west side. We'll put that in. We're getting all that put into place right now. We're right after the season. We'll get that ready to go. And then we'll be able to widen the aisles and put some handrails down. And what's going to happen there, every time you do that, you lose a seat per row. So we're going to have to go into reseeding. And similar thing that we did at Kansas State with football, same thing we did at Wichita State at Koch Arena. So I've done this multiple times along the way, which then is another reason why we put together Creating Champions Club, because then that'll give us the opportunity to be able to put a priority together, and we'll have so many points with each gift and however many years you've had season tickets and so many points per ticket. And so that'll give us the essence to be able to sit down, and we can start at the top of the list and work our way through, and people can come in and select their seats. And that's the plan right now, that we'll start working on getting that put together that way.
If you were wanting to purchase tickets, I know that season tickets are now available for almost all the sports. You can go online, esuhornets.com. There's a big old button on the top that says tickets. You left click on it. You can get tickets, passes to just about everything they have coming up. I'm scrolling all the way down, and they've got everything through the All Sports Pass that you can get. So if somebody wants more information about this Champions Club, like, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind getting some extra parking and doing that and getting into that. What would be the best way for them to go about getting involved with that and deciding, like, hey, I'd like to be able to make a bigger part of the athletic department, and I want to be a bigger part of it? You know, what would be the best way for them to go about joining that and being a part of this thing that you're building at Emporia State?
Well, right now you'll be able to contact Zach Fief on our staff, and then we've also are in the process of bringing in two new graduate assistants that will be helping out on the marketing side. Jackson's coming in from Kansas State. We have a young lady coming in that will be on our ticketing side.
It's Laura Garcia Lafitte, so some Lady Hornet fans may remember her.
Sure.
She played for us, so she's
awesome.
Going to come back and help with
the Don Wiest with the assist from the outside.
Yeah.
I always appreciate it, Don. You know, you can just be on. If I know I'm getting two for one, you know, I didn't want to put you on the spot because, you know, but you're always welcome. The microphone's always open for Don Wiest in this studio.
Oh, thank goodness for Don. I tell you, he helps me. He's helped me a lot along the way.
Sure.
But I think it'll be really good. All three of them will be working with helping our fans and everything with their tickets, their donations, and all that. And we're staffing up and getting it ready to go, like I said.
Now, once again, esuhornets.com/tickets for season tickets for all of the upcoming events or single game tickets. You can also get those there as well. David Spafford with the assist from Don Wiest. Thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, joins us next.
Summer is winding down, but the savings are heating up at Longvine Auto Plaza with great offers on new Chevy and pre-owned models now. Get summer drive savings on new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab models with Turbo Max engines and get up to $7,000 off MSRP. And we have Silverado LTZ and RST models in stock too. Our qualified buyers can get financing as low as 3.9% APR up to 60 months. And remember, at Longvine Auto Plaza, our certified technicians will keep your vehicle in top running shape for those last-minute summer road trips. Now is a great time to get end-of-summer offers and incredible savings on new Chevy and Buick models. So come see us today or visit our website, longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, Dan Courtwright in the penalty box behind the glass. And joining us now to get set for KU football coming up, and of course, your home for KU football will be right here on this frequency, KU basketball as well, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is going to be on the play-by-play airwaves coming up just a couple of weeks away. Brian, it has been a number of years since I was able to talk to you on a sports talk program of mine. It is great to have you on. How are you this morning?
Hey, it's great to be on, buddy. Awfully proud of you and your success. Can't wait to hear you on the call of Emporia State Athletics this fall. And it's great to be back and talking about a Kansas football preseason with as much anticipation as we've had in 15 years heading into a season. So got to go back to 2007-08 and what Mark Mangino had this program doing back then. It's the only time we've ever been to back-to-back bowl games. And as we told the crowd last night at our big Lawrence kickoff rally, this thing, the way Leipold's building it, is built to be lasted and sustained, you know, to where you're competing for bowl games every single year. And we're not talking about a couple of good years where you rose up and were halfway decent. We're talking about Kansas being in the hunt year in and year out. And with the facilities enhancements that were announced earlier this week, the way he's crushing it in recruiting right now, and the program continuity that they're enjoying with all of their assistants coming back for the first time in 20 years. There was zero assistant coach turnover. The player retention was fantastic as well in terms of the guys we were able to keep in the fold in a year and in an era where, you know, players hitting the portal seems like it happens all the time. Kansas did a great job of keeping their core nucleus together. And so I think Jayhawk fans have every reason to be confident that the way the culture is being built right now, this is not a flash in the pan type thing. This is something that's going to be, as long as Leipold's staff is here and he's on the sidelines, it's going to be something that has Kansas in the hunt every year. And man, does that feel good to say after the drought we were in the midst of for about 14 years.
Well, and I know, you know, we're both Topeka West guys, and I know that you've been a lifelong Jayhawk fan. And the last time that KU was at all relevant, you know, you were there in Lawrence at KLWN. I was doing your stats for you and doing the games on KJHK, and you know, you left to go to Texas Tech. I left to get into broadcasting Missouri and Nebraska, and boy, at about that point, things started to get really, really awful. So just as a KU fan, not necessarily as the voice, but just as a guy who grew up bleeding crimson and blue like I did, it feels, I can't tell you the sense of relief that I get having Lance Leipold in the program and all the phenomenal things, because I remember as a student what it was like to be running in, getting in there for the front row and watching 54,999 people get in the stadium behind me for those games. It was incredible, and I know with the new stadium it's going to be even more incredible, but it's such a relief to just finally feel like, you know, maybe that's behind us. I still feel a little gun shy of, because I've just been hurt for so long, but it's the optimism that I feel, it's scaring me a little bit how optimistic I am about this team.
I know what you mean. That almost sounds like you were recapping a broken relationship, and it's going to come out and break my heart again, you know, because I've been duped once before and yada yada. No, I'm telling you, this is a stable relationship. This is something that absolutely has a trajectory. It's going to be upward and onward, and that doesn't mean that there won't be, you know, some trying seasons where, you know, you dip a little bit. But the point is, I think that the culture is so good right now. Yeah, that was one thing about the success in the Mangino era, why it wasn't sustained beyond that 07-08 stretch, is you started to see a pretty strong exodus of some of the key assistant coaches and coordinators. These guys, it's such a tight-knit group, and they have, you know, such great support from administration with Travis Goff and our chancellor, Doug Girard. Like, everybody's in lockstep with each other on what's happening at all levels of this rebuild. And I referenced the stadium announcement from Tuesday. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. I know Dan's been going to the game since he was probably 3 years old with his dad, and you and I, Blake, have been going our whole lives. It's almost surreal to me that we're about to get something this nice. Because I'm 43 years old. I've been going to the game since I was 5. And outside of the press box edition, I mean, there really hasn't been much to fix up Memorial Stadium in my entire lifetime. Field goal club, yeah, I get it. But, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, real overhaul. And we've had it discussed and talked about and reported and all that going back to 2017 when they first got the David Booth gift of $50 million. But to see the rubber meet the road and real stuff starting to happen on this thing and have an actual timeline as to when it's going to be completed, to think that we're going to about to have here in just a matter of 2 years something way nicer than what Baylor just built with McLean Stadium six or so years ago, something that I think will rival what Texas Tech is doing, and there's those inside our walls that think it might be even better. And then you start to look at, okay, well, yeah, it's not as big as what Texas has, and they're not going to be in the league anyway, but this is going to be one of the nicer stadiums in the entire Big 12 Conference, the most cutting edge of the entire Big 12 Conference. And I don't know about you guys, but I just think that the artist renderings look beautiful. And to think about everything that's going to be happening with the entrance to the campus there with the Gateway District, and, you know, I know the light structure looks new and it's different than what you're used to seeing, but that's inspired by the waving wheat of the Kansas wheat fields. And I just love the fact that they looked to their own backyard for artistic inspiration of what the stadium was going to look like. So I think when you add that momentum, the players obviously just in the last couple of weeks got these brand new locker rooms and weight room facilities. You add to what they're doing in recruiting, and they can feed off each other. You know, you can show the donors the recruits we're getting, show the recruits the facilities we're enhancing, and then show everybody what's happening on the field as the result of all of that. It's just one of those cycles that feeds off each other and just gets better and better. And for those reasons, I think it is sustainable. For those reasons, I think it is okay to puff your chest out a little bit right now and hold your head high and say, hey, Kansas football is back. But to make sure it stays back with all this returning talent and all this preseason hype, you got to find a way to back it up on the field this year and capitalize on an era where you've got one of the best 10 quarterbacks in America and you've got so many key pieces coming back. And it's a tough schedule to be sure, but I love our team and I love how this team is being led right now. I love how dialed in they are. And I really think this is a club that could, win 7 or 8 games plus the bowl game. And, what a great season that would be if that's the case.
Brian, before we talk specifically about this year's football team, I wanted to ask too, or I guess maybe add something. We have a tendency to talk about coaches, coaching staff, and that type of thing. But for me, I've been following Kansas since 1974, so I'm an old-timer here. I tell you what, I got to give kudos to Travis Goff, the AD. I mean, I think we have the right guy in place. I mean, what a great job he's doing, not just with the football program, but all across the board in that athletic department. What a breath of fresh air he has brought, I think.
Yeah, that's really well said, and I completely agree. And without talking about previous administration or anything like that, it is and was very refreshing to have a native Kansan, KU grad, guy come in that understands, how special this place is and what it takes to, build the right type of organizational operation here. And it was a little bit fractured when he got here. And I think COVID had a lot to do with that because obviously financially, it was a tough time for us all. People were working remotely and, the previous, leadership, they had inherited a tough situation because of that to begin with. But then there was just not quite the same unity. There wasn't the same culture across the department that we've come to now really appreciate in the last 29 months that Travis has had the job. And yes, I've counted them up because every day is a blessing. And I'll tell you what, it's a different culture because he came in and, every AD or coach has their own vision. Yes. But he had it very clear that he was going to make his vision one that was adaptable and, could still be tweaked. He didn't have it all figured out showing up on day one. He wanted to write his vision as he was in that chair by starting by talking to his coaches and student athletes. What do you need? What can I give you? How can we work together? Then he wanted to talk to his donors and his staff. And I can't tell you how many nights I would leave the office at like 7 o'clock and his car was still there because he was in his office on the phone with one of the many very generous Kansas donors, listening and genuinely connecting and saying, okay, tell me what I don't know, what I need to know. Tell me what I can do for you. And I just respected that approach so much. And he said the same thing in our all-staff meetings, which consist of almost 500 employees. He's like, I want you guys to be a part of this vision. I want your input. I want you to email me ideas right now. I've got this binder, and I'm going to go through them all, And I just think that when you come in with such a humble approach saying, hey, I've earned this position, yes, there's a lot that I still need to know and I want to tap into you guys, man, that creates immediate rapport and respect from those you're working with. And when you go to your coaches and student athletes and say, specifically, what do you need? Again, you're earning immediate brownie points with the people that you just met. And that's what helped him win over the entire department so quickly. That's what had him connected with the donors at a level that I don't think an AD has been in quite some time. And then obviously coming out of the pandemic and everything that's has happened on the field since then has made this culture and this vibe around campus as good as it's been. But look at it. I mean, the winning on the field has been tremendous, including the bowl game and the national championship just all in the last couple of years. And then, as I said, just the general culture, walking the campus and being up in the athletic offices, it's night and day different. So we're so grateful he's here. And this, for him, is a dream job. I think it's sustainable with him, too, because this is where he always wanted to be. Dodge City, Kansas kid. His parents have moved from Dodge City to Lawrence so they can help with the grandkids. And so Travis wants to be here for the long haul. Lance and Kelly Leipold have committed to be here for the long haul. So it's neat to think that we can kind of settle in and enjoy this for a while. And as I said to our pep rally group last night, I genuinely believe in my heart of hearts that history will remember this era that we're living in right now as one of the true golden eras of Kansas athletics. So soak it up, enjoy it. We're in the midst of it, and I think it just gets better from here.
Brian, I was about to ask, the last couple of weeks have been kind of real busy for you with you going to Puerto Rico with the men's basketball team and that trip, and now with all the football news with the renovations. Do you feel like you're on cloud nine right now?
Man, it is a grateful feeling for sure. And the trip to Puerto Rico, not that we have a ton of time to break down basketball, but, man, I left so excited about how athletic these guys are. I mean, it's the most athletic team we've had since 2008, and it's everything that we weren't 3 years ago when we lost at the end of the season there in the bubble NCAA tournament to USC, and we looked a step slow and not as big, not as long. This team has all of that. And so, yeah, that was a great way to end the summer and kind of tip off the school year back August 1st through the 8th. And then to have the stadium announcement on Tuesday and to see, you know, the response to that, it really is a great feeling of pride and also gratitude that this really is happening. That's why I say it's kind of surreal after 38 years of going to the games in that stadium and not ever really seeing anything huge change. It's like, pinch me, is this really happening for us at Kansas? And man, it feels good. So yeah, and you know, on top of that, I think this goes for any person in any walk of life, no matter what you do vocationally. If you genuinely love and respect the people you work for, every day going to work is something you're excited about, you're looking forward to, and you're grateful for. And that's what we have right now with this team. And I'm not spewing you sunshine and rainbows to be the company line guy here on KVOE on a Saturday morning. I'm shooting straight with good friends. That this is how I feel, and this is how lucky I am to get to be a part of this, because we really do have such a great culture right now. So, yes, very happy, very grateful, and can't wait to see what this next 7 or 8 months includes as a year that could be as special as 07-08 starts to unfold. And that goes all the way through baseball season, too, by the way, where
sure.
Kansas in the last year and a half hired a coach that was at LSU, and that LSU national championship team that just won it all in Omaha. Almost that whole roster was recruited by Dan Fitzgerald, and he's now our head coach entering his second season at KU now, so we've got that to look forward to as well. It truly is a great, great time to be a Jayhawk.
And a very, very new volleyball facility up there as well, with a team that's not far removed from a Final Four appearance up there. Real quickly, just a couple more minutes left with Brian Handy, the voice of the Jayhawks. One of the big stories that we talked about before we had you on was Jalen Daniels, the back injury, not practicing with the team. I'm a little bit more open to the fact that after seeing how things played out, even though the Jayhawks didn't win a bunch of games with Bean last year at quarterback, you know, it the offense was not the issue in most of those games. The defense did not give the offense a real chance to win, and Bean played so well in so many of those defeats, the offense was not really the problem. But give us an update. What's the latest on Daniels? I know the hope is that he'll be back either this weekend or early next week, but what's the word on Daniels and his back injury and not practicing with the team? Obviously not. It should be a little bit of a concern for KU football fans.
Yeah, I don't think it was much of a concern a week and a half ago, but now that you've entered the 2 weeks from game day window, which would have been last night, certainly there's a little bit of concern. But I think that he's been really smart about it. They got some of the best training staff and medical team that's working through it with him. And then the other silver lining is, you know, Jason Bean, according to Matt Gildersleeve, our strength coach, according to Lance Leipold, the head coach, and Jim Zabrowski, quarterback coach, he's had an outstanding fall camp. And Zabrowski said he may have improved the most of any quarterback he's ever coached from one off season into the regular season. And I think that's a huge, huge compliment. So if for some reason this back thing lingers, Kansas is blessed to have the best 1-2 punch in terms of quarterback depth and experience in this conference and one of the best in the country. And in terms of like guys that actually have, you know, real wins to point to on their resume. And having said that, you know, we're still 13 days out. When I hang up with you guys, I'm heading out to their scrimmage today, and we'll see if he's able to turn it loose. But, you know, Jalen is a preseason offensive player of the year in our conference for a reason. He's a preseason top 10 Heisman Trophy candidate for a reason. We want to get him back and healthy. But if for any reason it lingers, there's way more confidence in Jason Bean than there was this time a year ago. And how about the selflessness of Jason Bean to come back in an era where everybody seems to leave for the portal as soon as they don't get named QB1. He wanted to do this for his teammates. He wanted to stick and stay in a special culture and a program that was on the rise. And it's looking like it was a very, very good decision for everybody that he did.
Brian Blake mentioned the defense being the issue in most of those games last year, and I'm curious to hear from you in terms of just what you've seen so far. Is this going to be a unit that will be much more efficient? I mean, at least be able to be helpful to a very good offense?
I like how you phrase that. can they be helpful? Yes, and I'm not going to undersell them at all, but it is the elephant in the room. I mean, the offense averaged 36 points a game a year ago. I think they'll score more than 40 this year if they stay healthy. And so can the defense get one or two stops a half to make sure that 40 is enough? And I think the answer is yes. I think when you talk about being helpful to the offense, certainly, you know, getting stops and field position is helpful. I think the special teams enhancement with Sean Snyder coming over to help with some of the special teams input, I think that's going to be something that's really helpful to the offense in terms of how much better we should be in that third of the game. But I do think the defense brings back some key veteran leaders in Rich Miller and Kenny Logan and Kobe Bryant. To me, the big thing I want to see when we line up here in 13 days is the pressure up front, where they look like in the trenches, how much can they be in the opposing backfield, and I want to see if we're disruptive there, because losing Lonnie Phelps on the edge was big. They've got some guys they're excited about, but that to me is going to make all three levels of the defense more helpful if they get what they hope they have in terms of defensive line pressure up front.
Brian Handy, the voice of the Jayhawks on the Jayhawk Radio Network. Of course, you can listen to KU football all season long. You're home for the Hawks in Emporia, KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Brian, great to have you on. Enjoy the scrimmage. Stay cool out there. I'm sure it's going to be blistering hot in Lawrence, just like it's going to be in Emporia today. We'll love to have you back in December, and I hope that if I can invite you back in December, I'm hoping we're talking about a KU bowl game. That's what I'm hoping for. So have a great time at the scrimmage. Thank you so much. So great to connect with you again.
Great to be on with all you guys. Thank you so much for the platform. And yes, that's my hope as well. And looking forward to talking to you much more regularly. So we'll be in touch. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Hornets, and we'll see you real soon.
Brian Handy, the voice of the Jayhawks. And, yeah, I think that how you phrased that was actually very good, Tim. You know, if the offense can play well, I don't think the defense has to be a top-half Big 12 defense. They just can't be literally the worst defense in the Big 12.
At some point, you're going to have a game where the offense, God forbid, only scores maybe in the 20s.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to be able to also win those types of games, too. You can't just hope to go out there and outscore people. I mean, and if this team has a defense that's even remotely efficient, I mean, I certainly think you're looking at a team that can win 8-9 games.
Yeah, you know, you can't expect your offense to – let me rephrase it this way. You can't lose games that you're scoring 40 points in. You know,
exactly.
On a consistent basis, that can't happen.
Which just happened in the Big 12 a lot.
It can happen. It can happen in the Big 12, and it seems like it does in the Big 12. But you've got to be able to win those games. You just have to. If you are going to be a bowl team, take the steps forward, like he said, you just have to be able to do that. So really appreciate Brian Handy being on with us. That's going to wrap things up for us here today on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongByAndAuto.com. Coming up next week on the show, Dylan, it'll be me and you. Tim is out next week. Enjoy the golf.
I'm at the BBC.
That's right. Yes.
Next weekend.
We'll also be out there.
Yeah.
We did not get off the show to get out there. Interesting how the veteran guy who's been here for 30 years. Interesting. But Caden Glinsman will be joining us to preview Emporia High School football. I know you're very excited about that, KVOE. For the most part, even though you're going to be on the mix for the first week.
First two weeks
you'll be on the mix with Emporia High School football, but I know you're excited to get Caden Glinsman on, and just like Brian, you're heading out to a scrimmage as well today, right?
I am.
Okay,
so check out some boys soccer too later on tonight. But Coach Glinsman and company, they're just getting on their way out at the turf.
Well, we'll let you get out there, and then Wyatt Thompson will lead off for us next week. Of course, Country 101.7, your home for Wildcat football and basketball all season long. So that'll do it for us. Dan Courtwright, studio engineer behind the glass. For Tim and Dylan, I'm Blake. Have a great Saturday. Stay cool today. It's going to be hot out there. This is KVOE Emporia, live and local. We'll see you next week.
Live and local. 1400 AM KVOE Emporia. 96.9 FM K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Much of Southern California under the region's first ever tropical storm warning as Hurricane Hillary approaches. Weather officials now warning of life-threatening rainfall and flooding in some areas.